Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, 2 weeks ago, I asked you all to go back to your childhoods, to remember that question of what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, today I invite you, as we begin this sermon, to go back to your childhood again. Or maybe go back to a couple of months ago, or about a year ago. Do y'all remember your first day of school? Or just any beginning of the school year? The excitement that you might have felt? The idea of, yes, I get to go to school, I get to see my friends, I get to hang out with them some more? Or maybe you're a bit different. Maybe, as a kid, you're like, ugh, school. I gotta get up in the morning now, I gotta get up early, go get the bus stop. Oh, I am not ready for this. Or maybe you're excited about going, remember that first day in college? That excitement of something new and something opening up, finally away from your parents, you finally have your own place, and then finding out that, oh, I gotta get myself up for my first classes. Not gonna lie, I missed a few classes my beginning freshman year of college. Or maybe, for me, you remember your first day at the seminary. That excitement that's building up, that first rush of energy right before the quarter starts. Don, I think you understand how that feels. You're starting that one up in this coming on Monday. But we always had a tradition, at least my friends and I did, when we were at the seminary. Right before the quarter would start, we would all sit down and we would discuss who we had as our teacher. And we always have this common theme going around. We would always ask ourselves, oh, you got such and such. Oh, I hear he's a fantastic teacher. He doesn't give many papers. You're going to do fine. Oh, it's like, oh, you got him. I hope you like reading. A lot. And then, of course, while all this was going on, we had questions. We would all ask ourselves, you know, the important questions that any good seminarian would ask. Can I bring coffee into class? How much, can I actually bring some food? Would that be okay? Or the more important question, how far can I sit in the back so he doesn't notice that I'm here? You know, deep theological questions. But why bring this up? We're talking today about teaching. And teachers here, you know how important it is to do teaching well. And as students, we all can remember, it was much more interesting to hear someone teach when they knew what they were talking about. When they came from a place of understanding that the teacher was energized and enthusiastic and taught what they knew with authority, as if they actually knew what they were talking about and did it in a clear and concise and powerful way. That is where we are today in Mark. Now, remember a couple just last week, Mark is a pretty fast gospel. It is filled to the brim with words like immediately and at once. It is a moving gospel, full of action, full of excitement. So we have to start things off pretty quickly. So last week we heard about when Jesus called his first disciples. And of course, they immediately got up and followed him and became fishers of men. And almost immediately right after, they were going on their way to Capernaum. And on the Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and he began teaching. And everyone around him was amazed because he taught as one with authority and not like the scribes. But immediately in their synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent. Come out of him." And once the spirit convulsed him and threw him on the ground. And with a loud voice, he cried out and departed from him. And all of those who saw this were amazed. And they spoke to one another, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding area of Galilee. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, can you imagine what that must have been like. You are Jesus' disciples, freshly called to become fishers of men. And immediately following that, you see Jesus preaching and teaching, and it is awesome. You get to see him then do his first miracle recorded in Mark. He drives out a demon. That's pretty impressive. That's a pretty good first day of school right there. Can you imagine just being there and seeing that, being in that crowd and seeing for the first time something new, something different, something with authority? It wasn't like you going into those lectures of old and having the whole drum, same thing, bored out of your mind, wishing you could get out of it. No, this was new. This was exciting. This is Mark. We are here in the Gospel of Mark for this year, and this is where it gets exciting, because in Mark, you have a war going on throughout the entire book. You have the force and the authority of God and Jesus. On the other hand, you have the authority and the power of evil. And immediately it becomes apparent that there's a battle going on. And this, right here in our gospel today, is the first of many skirmishes. And Jesus wins. Can you imagine what it must have been like for his disciples to be there in that crowd and see that? It must have been wondrous. It must have been exciting. But Mark has another reputation. It is the shortest gospel, full of action, full of just immediate in danger, and is exciting, and it has the very worst portrayal of Jesus' disciples. Mark does not let up on how Jesus is constantly seemingly to lose this battle. You see, even though these crowds have gathered here together with authority, they're saying this is new and exciting, it doesn't really last that long. Jesus' best victories are actually in the beginning of Mark. As Jesus gets further and further along the road, closer and closer to Jerusalem, it seems like his authority starts out high and goes down. For his disciples are all on fire for him. And suddenly they don't understand what he's talking about. Actually being belligerent, being ignorant, and not paying attention to Christ. It is no different for the crowds. There is an immediate high for them, and it gradually goes down and down and down until there's nothing. In fact, the only people or things in the entire book of Mark that had and understood and followed the authority of Christ were demons. This is different. It's almost kind of odd. Jesus had the authority. He was God incarnate, made flesh. And yet his authority seemed small, insignificant. But surely that was just back then. And we're more sophisticated today. I mean, we are in 2018. We have good technology at our hands. We don't believe in any silly superstitions. Oh, we are grounded in reality. Surely the authority of God is much better today than it was back then. I'm getting a lot of silence here, so no. And you're right. It almost seems as if the authority of God is at an all-time low for us here in 2018. But it's been that way for a while, I would actually say. See, when I was in high school, I pretty much wanted to say I wanted to be a pastor. And I would get some interesting looks. Mostly all of them was like, really? Is that like a priest? No, it's not. I have to go into that detail. Oh, you just want to say some silly things in work once a week. No, it's not that either. You're just trying to tell people lies to make them feel better. It's not real. Anyone can do that. Kids are harsh, but surely the rest of our society is a bit more enlightened than a high schooler. But sadly, the case is no. The authority of God has always been something that seemingly should be everywhere, that should never die, and yet, even in our own lives, in our society today, other authorities tend to make themselves known. Other teachings that have authority, that are more longer lasting, make themselves known. I mean, after all, who could forever get these wonderful authoritative teachings? Do good things and good things will happen to you. Do bad things and bad things will happen to you. Karma. It's authoritative. It sounds good. But we know that's not the case. How many of us have personal experiences that even if we are the best that we can be, bad things still happen? And how many have seen that good things happen to those who hurt others, but who care little for anyone else but themselves? Well, surely there are other more authoritative teachings than that. I mean, we're here in America, a country that was built on the sweat and the work of everybody. And of course, everyone remembers that wonderful statement that Jesus said, God helps those who help themselves. Oh, wait, he never said that. But it's a good teaching, one with authority. But when you look at it, it crumbles. Because God has often helped those who can't help themselves. But what about God's power? What about his ruling of our lives? About making this country his again? About leading this country into a place that is supposed to go, that our leaders would listen to the word of God and his authority? But if you look around, it seems that that's not the case. And even God's authority in our own lives can seem wanting and sad. How many of us have ever wondered where God's authority was, where his all-encompassing power was when we were so scared, so sad, and so alone after a loved one has passed away? And that deep, dark depression sometimes sets in. Where is God when we see our family members going astray and we want to help them so bad, but they don't even listen to us? Where is God's authority when we see all these natural disasters going around in the world where people are dying of starvation and of death? Where is his authority? Where is God? Why can't he just fix all of this? Why is it seeming that in this world, God's authority is meaning nothing? Why is it seeming like the powers of hell and darkness have won? Once again, we have to wonder, what is God saying in all of this? I had trouble sometimes actually writing this sermon because I couldn't get over the fact that Mark actually doesn't say what Jesus was teaching. It goes into that he was teaching with authority, but I wondered, what was he saying? What was he talking about that got these people so fired up? We actually know it. Right in the beginning of last week, the gospel began with these words, where Jesus said, the time is now at hand, and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Like I said, Mark was a battleground. It was a battleground between two authorities. John, in the beginning of his gospel, put it so wonderfully. The light has come into the world, and the darkness cannot understand it. For Christ came into this world. God was made incarnate, and he walked upon this world. He had authority over it. Time and time again, we saw this, and we'll see this in Mark. The authority to drive out spirits, the authority to drive out sickness, the authority to drive out death, and the authority to stop evil nature and chaos. But there is more to Christ than this, for he has another authority. He says, I have been given the authority to lay down my own life, the authority to raise it up again. This is the true authority of Christ that has lasted since the dawn of time itself, the authority of God. In this authority, we have seen it. Even though the earthly authority of Jesus seems to fall away, It is in this authority that has beaten all the powers of darkness. In this authority, he is put to death on the cross, not because anyone could do it, because God himself had the authority to do it himself. He himself died for us. He himself laid down his life and so, by doing this, destroyed the authority of sin upon us by becoming sin for us and dying. And he had the authority to rise up again. And the authority is given so that death's authority over us, over all living things, is completely destroyed. And he has given us the authority, and we ourselves will be raised up again on the last day. And death has no more power over us. And this authority has been seen time and time again. It was sad and strange time for the early Christians. They were themselves so powerless, maybe a couple hundred, a couple thousand in the entire Roman Empire, hunted down, destroyed, and killed. And yet, Rome fell, and Christ was there, surviving in his church. We see the coming of many different kingdoms around the world, the emperors of Europe, the kings of Europe. They came, they fell, and Christ's authority, his reign, remained. Even today, we know that this world will pass away. This nation, as great as it is, will one day cease to be. But Christ will always be there, and his authority is forever and everlasting. It is priceless, it is timeless, and it is there. It is the authority to say to his people, "Come, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Flying in the face of all the teaching of this world. For he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God's authority is so great that he promises that he is with us throughout our entire life. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, his authority guides us and protects us. His authority is so great that on the last day, he will come again, and every knee, whether believer or unbeliever, shall bow and proclaim God's authority over heaven and earth. On this day, God will make this whole world new. He will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. Death, sin, and the power of the devil will forever be destroyed in the harsh battle that has been going on since this world fell, will finally be over. And God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And there, in God's perfect love and authority, will be reigning forever and ever. But until this time comes, let us put our trust in God. Let us put our trust in him who has authority and dominion and power over all of the world, who cared for us so much that he laid aside all of that authority and power and so had only the authority to lay down his life for us, to raise it up again for us. And until he comes again to establish his authority of heaven and earth forever, we await. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.